Thank you all for being here this morning. If you'll reach to the pew rack in front of you and pull out a pew Bible, unless you brought your own, we're going to be reading from page 1287 this morning, 1287 in the pew Bible. In your own Bible, it's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. If we can bring the house lights up enough for people to read that small print or to read their devices, that would be helpful. But let's stand together as, out of respect, we listen to God's word as it's been left recorded for us. Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to begin with verse 23, reading through verse 25. And there scripture leaves these words recorded to us. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Thank you very much. You may be seated. I don't know if you saw the most recent Gallup survey released a couple weeks ago that found that for the first time in American history, more people now are acknowledging not belonging to a house of worship than people who do. Overall, church attendance as a percentage of the population in America is going down. First time in American history, 49%. Of those surveyed in America acknowledged belonging to a house of worship. 51% said they did not. Now, thank the Lord, that is not true here at Valley. In fact, even through COVID, attendance here has continued to grow. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. And maybe we're growing now at a faster rate than this congregation has ever grown before. The last 3 years have been phenomenal. And I believe it's because more and more people are realizing that we need this. We need it. And before I go into that, I want to acknowledge that many people don't believe that. I want to be fair with them. I'm going to be given 30 minutes on stage to speak my piece, and there are a lot of people who are not going to be given 1 second up here to be heard. And so I want you to hear them too. There are a lot of people who do not believe we need this. Many of these people are very sincere believers in Christ, and they believe that they need Jesus Christ. They just don't believe that they need his church. Many people have been hurt by the church, and those hurts still hurt. Does that make sense? I'm sure there's someone online right now that's saying amen, clicking that little heart down in the corner. How many of you know someone, maybe you're not someone yourself, but you know someone who's been hurt by church? It was maybe accidental, but it still happened. They went away with hurt feelings because of church, and it still hurts. Other people feel that church is fine, but it's optional, and they have opted out of church. And they've got their reasons for doing so. Now, some of them are silly reasons, but some of them are very serious reasons. In fact, I saved a recent Reddit thread that asked 16 different people the simple question, why did you stop going to church? And I want to read some of their answers to you because I want to be fair with folks, especially the folks that are watching online. Some of those people are these people. They're here with us, but they are with us online. They don't think they need to be here. But this question was asked. 16 people responded, why did you quit going to church? And you're going to hear all kinds of reasons. The number one reason is making enough money to feed your family is pretty important too. And that person goes on to say, my father lost his job, and the only work he could get involved travel, which meant he couldn't make the Sunday service. Even though my parents gave to the church monthly, all the support we got was prayers that he found a job closer to home. As a teen, I was also asked by church elders why Father thought making money for his family was more important than attending church. Man, that must have hurt. How many think it's important for a father to feed his family? Can you feel a little bit what this person's gone through? I mean, Dad's doing the best he can. And he got criticized for it. Another person says, you can't pray away a panic attack. That's why they quit going to church. You can't pray away a panic attack. Now, most of us, many of us, me, myself, we grew up in church. And church is almost like our backyard. You know, we don't have panic attacks. When I go to church, my heart doesn't start racing. You know, my skin doesn't start sweating. I don't have headaches. And I don't get passing out because I'm gonna go to church. But you realize for some people, this is strange environments. This is a scary place. I mean, just look at some of you. This is scary, scary place sometimes to come to. And this lady says, I moved to a new city for university and was doing a bit of church hopping with a religious roommate to see if we could find a church we liked. At one of the churches, I had a once you see it, you can't unsee it moment where I suddenly thought, this is a cult. The church we went to was a really boisterous hallelujah type place, and it was very overwhelming, so much so that I had to get up and go to the bathroom and try to avoid having a full-blown panic attack. When I was in there, a few ladies crowded around me saying I should take the panic as a sign that the Lord was flowing through me. Like, no, this is not the Lord. This is anxiety. This is a physiological thing. They really earnestly believed that I was being touched by Jesus, and I couldn't help but feel like they were brainwashed. It was so awkward and off-putting, I lost my faith and haven't gone back to church since. I mean, can you feel that? She has panic attacks when she comes here. Now, we try to make people feel as friendly as at home, and our greeters do a wonderful, wonderful job for this very reason. The first-timer is coming for the first time, and that can be very scary. Where do I go? What do I do? When do I stand? When do I sit down? Where's the bathroom? Where's the nursery? How do I get out of here? It's easy to have a panic attack in here, and we don't sometimes remember that. Another person said, well, church only sounds like a slight improvement. I realized the only emotion that church made me feel was intense guilt. I mean, the gospel's good news, isn't it? Why does someone leave here feeling nothing but guilt? Must have been something we said here. Or said the wrong way. Another person said, my parents love church. Once it was my choice and not my parents, I stopped going except for weddings and funerals. Mentally, I checked out of church, and I checked out of believing in any kind of God around age 10. Another person, and I love the honesty in this answer, it's as good a reason as any to quit church, he says, they stopped serving donuts at youth group. How many miss our cafe? I mean, I miss the cafe too. I didn't stop going to church, but I do miss. Well, there's others here, and I just want to be fair and honest with these folks because we may have one or two in the crowd this morning giving another shot, and we certainly, I'm sure, have someone online or someone that's going to watch this service by its recorded feature on the internet, and I feel your pain, brother. I feel your pain, sister. I hope you guys don't mind me sharing those reasons why people stop going to church, because I want to be fair with those people who've experienced some of those things and the reasons they've chosen to not go to church. Now, some of the reasons are frivolous, but some of their reasons are nearly unforgivable. They come here and they feel that way? What did we do wrong? We did something wrong. And we need to say we're sorry and ask people to give it another shot. But I want you to know that if you're one of those people who have given up on church, I want you to know that I've got your back. and I want to air some of the reasons why you may have stopped coming. But I also want you to hear why many of us here have changed our minds and we have started going back to church. And the first reason, I think, is because we believe we need it. We believe we need this. And by we, I mean, of course, me, but I mean a lot of other people with me. We all need this thing called church. That's why God created it. He didn't create it just to crowd our schedules. God created this because he knew that we would need it. Jesus told the Apostle Peter, "On this rock, I will build my church." And it will be such an important build that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the apostles who were listening to Jesus said that would later say this: the church of God was something Christ purchased with his own blood. That's how much Christ felt it was worth. And here at Valley, we acknowledge that. We acknowledge that church is not something that we dreamed up so that we could get together with our friends. Church is not something that preachers dreamed up so we'd have a steady income. Church is something that God dreamed up because he knew we would need it. We would need it to encourage one another, our text this morning says. We would need it so that we could consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works in hopes that we'll all be able to hold on to this confession of our faith without wavering, that no one would be lost. And church is particularly gifted in helping us do all those things. And we are robbing ourselves of what God has given us if we do not attend. Now, a lot of our online worshipers could testify to that this morning, how much they feel they are missing by not being here. I don't know if you've watched the service online. We try to produce a service online where people can participate as much as possible. It's being hosted right now. Thank you for our hosts online. Lynn, I know you're hosting this service in West Virginia. I hope to see you tonight, dear. I love you. Can't wait to see the supper you make for me. Well, we host these services online, and we try to record the entire stage so that anything that happens up here, anything that's spoken into any of these microphones up here, music that's played up here, gets broadcast all around the World Wide Web. You get to see everything that happens up here and nothing that happens out there. Understand the difference? We got many people online who they're thankful that we're providing an online service for them, but they wish they could be here. And they look forward to being here once their vaccines kick in and this virus is kicked out. Church isn't the same on screen as it is in-house. We thank the Lord for all this technology that has helped some stay connected to the church throughout this blasted virus, but it's just not the same as being here. And most of us really, when we were online, most of us really looked forward to returning to church again. Now, the first week or two, it was kind of novel, kind of interesting. It was so disheartening to me to sit there in my easy chair with my feet propped up and have to listen to myself, see myself on TV and hear my West Virginia slang. It was just almost more than I could bear. And then to deliver the messages, I think I recorded them on Thursdays or Fridays, I can't remember, in-house here. And the technology people set up the cameras and whatnot and got me going. And then they walked out of the room. And I got to be in here all by myself and preach my sermon. Man, you talk about something disheartening. There wasn't anybody who wanted to stay and hear me. But we all look forward, after a few weeks of the novelty wore off, we look forward to getting back together in-house again because we truly missed it. Bob Russell wrote one of the best articles about that recently. In fact, it was just done a month ago. His article was entitled, "It's Time for the Church Family to Regather Again." And here's how he began. He begins by saying, Joe Scorey started school this past fall. Because of the pandemic, all his classes have been exclusively online. The very first day, his mother sat him in front of the computer screen and helped him make the connection. As his teacher got into her lesson, Joe's mother slipped out of the room to do a brief chore. She was gone for less than 5 minutes, but when she returned, she discovered her son was watching a movie. "What are you doing?" Mom demanded. "I'm tired of listening to her. She's boring," her boy said. And then Bob went on to say, "Most of you would agree that a six-year-old child has a poor understanding of what school is really all about. School isn't always entertaining or exciting. School isn't just about what you want to do at the moment. It's about learning to sit still and listen. It's about respecting the teacher's authority and interacting with the other kids and learning people skills as well as memorizing facts. We instinctively know that online grade school doesn't get the job done. Relationships are a vital part of the education." And then Bob said, "Same principle applies to the church. Online services have been a tremendous blessing during the COVID shutdown. They've provided expanded opportunities for evangelism, and they've enabled elderly and unhealthy members to stay connected with their church while protecting themselves from the virus. But we deceive ourselves if we conclude online church is somehow an acceptable substitute for actually attending a worship service. It's not the same. It's not even close to being the same." And then he gives this comparison, and I love this. He says, "There's a big difference between visiting with your fiance on the phone and actually being together in the room with them." How many remember dating? I mean, the phone calls, they last a long time. But the phone calls were mainly about how much we missed them and how much we look forward to what? Being together with them again. And he goes on to say the same thing's true with the church service. Watching a service on a screen and joining with others in corporate worship, they're not the same thing. Just humming along or tapping your foot to a praise song, gulping down a small wafer, drinking a spotted juice, and then casually listening to a sermon is not a satisfactory substitute for participating in the worship service. He says he saw a humorous meme from a satirical website. It had two images. The first image had a caption that read, "How the preacher imagines us worshiping online." And that cartoon portrayed a family of four sitting in front of a big screen TV, totally engaged in worship with their hands raised. They join in fervent singing. The second drawing is captioned, "What actually is happening online?" It shows a bedraggled middle-aged woman lying in bed in her pajamas watching her home church live stream on her cell phone while smoking a cigarette. And Bob goes on to say, "I know that's not always the case, and I know online services have been the right choice for those most vulnerable to catch the virus, but it is much too easy to conclude I'm tired of listening to that guy and turn the channel or glance at text messages instead." I know none of you did that with me because I was too enthralled to listen to, but it happens. But a huge part, Bob says, of being a member of God's church is having fellowship with others and being accountable to one another, having our opinions challenged by another, even being disciplined by one another when our misbehaviors call for it. That is why, Bob says, small groups, Sunday school, fellowship dinners, choirs, church softball teams, and mission trips are so important. Much more happens than just what happens up here. There's a lot that's happening out there. The Apostle Paul compared the church to a body where each member was dependent upon all the other members for the body to function properly. Bob says, think of all the one another passages in the Bible. Love one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves, live in harmony with one another, admonish one another, serve one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another. Even singing was not intended to be an isolated worship experience, for we're told in the New Testament, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I mean, sing in the shower if you must. But the New Testament command is to sing to one another. Encourage them as well. And then Bob says, last month a clerk related to me that she became a Christian while going through a bitter divorce. She wandered into a church service as a complete stranger, feeling very much alone. She spotted a vacant seat in the back of the crowded room. She sat down. She felt the presence of the Holy Spirit so strongly during the early part of the service that tears began to stream down her cheeks. A few minutes later, an older woman sitting beside her reached over and patted her on the knee and simply said, "You're in the right place." The next week, she came back and thought, "I hope I see that same woman." It just so happened there was a seat right next to the woman. So where do you think she sat at? And the two exchanged a warm greeting. She found herself praying, "I wish I could call this person and talk with her." But she didn't have the nerve to ask the woman for her contact information. After the service, the woman spontaneously handed her a scrap of paper with her phone number and whispered, "Please feel free to call me if ever I can help you." That led to a deepening relationship, needed encouragement, and an eventual baptism into Christ. Now, Bob goes on in his article, I'm going to quit there, because I think that's enough to show that what's going on in church is worth going to for church. If you're watching online or you're visiting in-house and that's not what going to church did for you, then all I can say is I apologize, but don't give up, because that's what the church was designed to do. Give it another shot. Go to another church if you have to. But we all need this. And not just us, but others need it too. Other people need us to go to church so that we will be there when they show up. I mean, what happens when a woman shows up needing a little human compassion like that woman did, and there's nobody to sit next to? There's not a vacant seat next to a woman in which she can lean upon. You may think you don't need church this morning. Now, quite frankly, I would disagree with you, but I will respect your opinion. You don't think you need church this morning. Right now in your life, things are okay. And you don't think you need church. Okay. But what about others who need you to be there when they come there, because they do need you to be there? And then you're not there. You went to a ball game. Just one Sunday, you went to graduation. Everyone will understand. You slept in. Doesn't happen often, but it was a tough weekend. You're not there, and that woman walks in. And maybe walks out and never comes back again. That's why we need to be here. Let me tell you how this worked for me this last week. I had all kinds of family and friends that gathered around my father's graveside this last week. Friends and family who were there to try and comfort and encourage me. And they were there largely, not entirely, but largely because of church. Church from down there and church from up here. Now, there were a lot of my Andrews clan that were there, too. And, you know, they were family. They had to be there. But there were a lot of folks that were my brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, that were there because of all the years that we have spent together in church. And because they had been in church last Sunday in particular when they were informed of the church service, of the funeral service. We had folks from up here who drove all the way down there to be with me, even though I asked them not to. They were still out there on that West Virginia hillside for me. They didn't need to do that. That's a 7-hour drive round trip through the mountains and hills. They didn't do that for themselves. They climbed that hill. They stood out there in that hot sun for me, and they didn't even have a chair to sit on. One fellow who was there, I happened to grow up with through all our young years at church and Sunday school, vacation Bible school, church camp. His name's Jay, and you don't know him, but I noticed how Jay stuck around after Dad's burial so that he could come up and talk with me with everyone else gone. Jay told me how much my dad meant to him and how much he meant to so many young people who'd grown up with him and been taught by him in the church, many of them who went on to become preacher men themselves. And Jay credited a whole lot of that to my dad and others like him, and I thanked him. But Jay additionally said this. He said, "We're going to start meeting together again. We're going to start having breakfast together again. Dawn and I and you and Lynn, we're going to start having dinner together again, now that you and Lynn are moving back into town." And I knew Jay meant that, and I really needed that. I needed to know life was going to continue. I was still going to have his friendship. I needed Jay to be there for me, even if Jay didn't need to be there for himself. I needed him, and he was there. And we've got another fellow here this morning who wants to thank you for being here in church for him just when his family needed you to be here for them. Give Brian DeSilva a hand as he comes this morning, would you? Good morning.
Thank you. And I want to thank the church and Gus and Jeff and Drew for allowing us to speak this message to you and let you know how important church is to us and how it can be to you and for all those that's out there listening today. I just want to thank God Almighty for giving me the courage and the power and the strength to come up here and let you hear this message about miracles that are still happening today. You know, you read in the Bible how there was miracles 2,000 years ago. Well, I have two grandbabies here that are miracles today. Bailey here, she was born in September of last year. And we noticed that she had an eye issue. So Alyssa takes her to the eye doctor back in March, middle of March, and wasn't thinking too much of it. And she goes there and she calls me, she's flabbergasted. They said, "Dad, they say she has a brain tumor behind her eye and that she probably needs surgery." And I said, "Well, we'll just pray upon it," because she was so upset that Bradley here, he has to have open heart surgery in 2 weeks. So we need to get this taken care of. So on March the 22nd, she brought her family in front of the church, and Gus laid prayers on them and prayed for each one of them, for Bradley to go to have his heart surgery and for her on her brain tumor. She goes the next day back to Children's and do a CAT scan on her. Now, this is all due through prayer and faith through God that she got the results back Thursday of that week. And the only thing that was wrong with Bailey was that she had a weak muscle in her eye. There was no brain tumor.
Amen. Amen.
If that's not a miracle, that's for laying prayer through Gus.
Thank the Lord.
And the Lord giving us that. Now, Bradley here, he has a lot of issues with him. He was born November of 18. And when he was born, he had She had no issues that anything was going to be wrong with him. He was born with three holes in his heart, a collapsed lung, and he had a stroke as well. With his collapsed lung, his bowels was up in his lung with his liver. They didn't give him a day to live, and he was in Children's for 6 months and come out. They told Alyssa that the three holes, two of them would recover on themselves because it was this in the muscle. But the third one wasn't because it was in the chamber. So sometime when he got older, he'd have to have open heart surgery. Well, he had that open heart surgery March the 29th. They went in, they stopped his heart for 42 minutes and they patched his heart. And he was released Thursday and he was out running around that Friday. And she brought him to church the following week. These are her miracle babies. And believe me, that is a miracle. You know, today that God still lives and Amen. Still hears us and is within us.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to tell you our message.
Thank you. Brian. God bless you.
God bless you, man. Thank you.
We do thank you, Brian and Alyssa, for reminding us how we need each other and how God has given us each other in a place where we can find each other. And that place is called the church. The church. I got to tell you that with the elders, I've taken a pretty big tongue lashing. Little Bradley had his open heart surgery, and the next Sunday was back in church again. I had my open heart surgery, and I had to take 6 weeks off. And the elders looked at me and said, "What's the matter with you, sissy?" But it is truly amazing, and that we do thank the Lord, but I also want to thank you for being there for this family when they need them. You don't know how much you appreciate that until it's you that's needing them to be there for you. Yes, we go to church because we need it, but even if we think we don't need it, if you're convinced you truly at this moment in your life, things are fine, you really don't need the church. I'm not going to disagree with you publicly right now. I'll let you hold that opinion. But understand this, others need you to be there for them, even if you believe you don't need to be there for you. And before we close, let's be sure to say this. We need to go to church for another reason entirely. If for no other reason, we need to go to church simply because God deserves it. I mean, after all that God has done, even if we don't recognize our need for it or acknowledge other people's need for us to be there, surely we recognize that God deserves a thank you after all he's done for you, after giving his son to die on the cross for you so that you could be forgiven. Doesn't that deserve to be remembered and proclaimed so it would not be forgotten? That's what we're doing here this morning. The Bible says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." You're remembering it, yes, true. But more than that, you're proclaiming what Christ has done. And that's exactly what the early Christians did. On the first day of the week, they gathered together to break bread. And that's what we're going to do in just a minute. If you're watching online, you might want to begin getting your communion supplies together. And if you don't have grape juice or unleavened bread in the house, you can let us know. Text one of the online hosts, and we'll have some delivered to you so you can join us next week. Or better yet, maybe you could consider joining us in-house next week if you believe the time is right for you to begin safely meeting again. Because we truly need this. Yes, you can find better sermons to watch online. I'll admit that. a lot better sermons than this. You might even be able to find better music online too. And even if you don't believe, you need this right now in your life. How do you know that there won't be someone who will need you to be here for them when they show up needing a friend? But folks, God deserves this, and the world, God wants to hear about this, whether we ever recognize anybody's need for it or not. God deserves it. Amen? Amen. And let me let you in on a little secret. The time is coming when many of you will want to be here, but you can't. You will already cross a line in your life that will not allow you to be here ever again. I'm thinking of a good Christian friend who's home with the Lord now, Jim Wolf. Used to be one worshiping with us here every Sunday. Jim was a school bus driver for Newark City Schools for most of his life. And Jim spent the last days of his life in Arlington Nursing Home in a wheelchair, where almost every time I would come to visit, I could find him not in his room, but at the end of the hallway, looking out the window, overlooking South 30th Street, watching the traffic go up and down the street, wishing that he could be out there driving with them again. But for Jim, that was never going to happen again. The same thing's going to happen for some of us in this room. The day's going to come when we're going to wish we could be here again, but we won't be able to attend. We will have crossed that line. For some people, they've already crossed that line and they're worshiping online. It's the closest they can get to us unless we go and visit them. No, today is a gift that God has given us to have the health and strength and blessing to be here to attend. And God gave this gift to us because He knew we needed this. And not just us, but others would come in who would need us to be there for Him. And we're here this morning to say thank you. Would you stand with me as we do that, as we close in prayer? Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your Son Jesus, but this morning we also thank you for His church. We thank you for Jesus and His willingness to die upon the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven and have that home in heaven. But we thank you for His church on earth, for surrounding us with the knowledge of Jesus and holding us in your hand until Jesus comes to take us home again. We thank you for thinking of us and for reminding us to think of others. And we thank you for this chance to meet and say thank you. And we pray on this day to which we have attended that you accept our thanks and that our thank you brings a smile to your face. That's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. God's people said, amen.